hair care products. Bestsellers include olive oil-based soaps and rejuvenating body moisturizers. The market is open Saturdays from 10 until 2.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Wisconsin's premier jazz orchestra, the Neophonic Orchestra, will be entertaining audiences with the music of West Side Story, Saturday, February 15th at 7 p.m. at the Racine Theater Guild as part of the Jeans Jazz Series.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenaya Quinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning and welcome to WGTD's Community Matters. I'm Laura Sumner Kuhn, your host, and I'm delighted this morning that we have two Smiths with us from the Over Our Head Players. We have Rich Smith, who's the Managing Artistic Director for the Players, and Jim Smith, who's the President of the Board. And you may be familiar with the Over Our Head Players because right now they're in the midst of this fantastic snow dance festival season, which has become quite the event for the Racine community. So welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning. So glad that I could have you both here, and you could tell us a little bit of the Over Our Head Players and a little bit about the Snow Dance Festival. The Snow Dance Festival is now in its 16th season, and it is hard to get into because, holy cow, you are sold out every single weekend, which
great?
I think is fabulous.
Good problem to have.
Yeah. It is a great problem to have.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you can maybe just explain to our listeners a little bit about what the Snow Dance Festival is.
Yeah, we'll jump back and forth here.
Sure.
But we, you know, 16 years ago, we were new into our space. This is our 28th season of doing live theater in downtown Racine. And we just, you know, opened up our own space on 6th Street 21 years ago. So we were there about 4 or 5 years before Snowdance started. We like doing new things, looking for new ideas. And we thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we just seen if anybody wanted to write a 10-minute play? And maybe that first year, I don't know, maybe we'll be lucky. Maybe we'll get 25 or 30 people to send us their 10-minute play. And maybe we can put 5 or 6 of them together for a night of theater. Well, that first year, we got almost 100 submissions, and we were surprised that the majority wasn't from Racine. The majority of the people that sent them to us were from New York and L.A. and Chicago. And we had great selections to choose from, and we did a full 10 plays, and it went over great. And that first year sold out and caught on, and it just caught fire. And audience has been growing with us. We've been adding performances, and we keep getting more playwrights interested in us every year, too. So it's been a good thing.
It's just marvelous and fascinating to me that you've attracted so many playwrights, some internationally, if I recall from years that I've gone. So this year, what have you gleaned from the people who have sent you scripts? How many did you receive?
654.
Oh, my goodness. And when do you start actually, you know, collecting them, or when's the deadline for people to submit them?
I think it's become like all year long now, right? I mean, it started with a kind of a defined period, but now it's like they come all the time.
Yeah,
right?
I get them all the time. We don't say no. But mainly, we start pushing at the end of summer, end of August, and we take them on, August 1st until November 1st. So August, September, October is mainly the submission season. But we'll get a dozen or two in the middle of the summer that will say, okay, you're all right. We'll hang on to you.
But 650 or so?
Isn't that great?
Wow. So where did they come from this year?
Well, we like to say we received scripts from 42 of our finest states and Illinois. and I think I have to double check, but I think 5 foreign countries.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, China, India. Isn't that funny?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. How do you think all these people have learned about it? What do you think is your biggest method of recruiting play-written material, right?
Obviously, there's people who do that, who are looking for places to send their stuff. And so from around the world and even from right around here, I'm always amazed at the people that I know who will say to me, doggone it, I submitted my play. You guys won't accept my plays, but I keep submitting them every year. And I'm shocked that, really, you write plays? I mean, it's just it comes from all walks of life. And I think that people, to answer your question, I think people are just seeking out places to send their material wherever they can, and we're a place they can send it. So
that's one of the great things about a 10-minute comedy. Being in your kitchen with a good idea, there's your 10-minute comedy.
Yeah. Sure,
you know, you don't have to have a thesis on it. It's not a novel, you know.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing. A lot of our winners have just been regular people.
Mm-hmm.
But the unique thing about playwrights and writing plays in general, it's not like, you know, if you're an artist and you want to paint a portrait, you know, you need your canvas, your paint, and you're done, you know. Or if you want to write a piece of music, you write your music and you're done. But if you're a playwright, you really aren't done until it's in the hands of actors and a director and goes in front of an audience. So a lot of playwrights are anxious to seek us, and I think we've learned that over the years. And the more of a solid reputation we've grown, the more we've attracted, and it's kind of snowballed.
I think the other thing for us is we treat their submissions the right way. I mean, we'll give them feedback. We give them we respond. I mean, we let them know that we took a look at what they sent, and so I think that's a big part of it too. Is we respect their submissions, and we do it the right way. So.
How on earth do you begin winnowing down to the 10 or however many you're going to do in a show? I mean, what character, obviously it has to hit you a certain way. First of all, who decides? I mean, you have 650
yeah.
works of art yeah. In front of you.
Right.
How do you decide? What kind of characteristics do you look for, and who decides? How do you go about reading all of those and then having the vision to know whether or not your troupe can carry it off in the setting that you're in? Yeah, tell us a little bit about that process.
Rich has developed a great process through the years.
It's grown. You know, the first 12 or 13 years, I kind of prided myself on reading every script and then sharing. And then we would have discussions and talks, and it would be a week or 2 week process with maybe a half dozen of us. You know, what did you think was funny? What did you think was funny? What works together? And that's kind of melted into a system now where there's probably four or five of us, and we break the scripts up, and everyone kind of knows a formula that we have. You know, is it funny? Can we cast it? Will our audience enjoy it? Was it well written? And if it meets all that stuff, then it's going to get reread by someone else. And then we give a score. And as it goes around the circle, if things get passed on and get higher scores, everything kind of rises to the top. And then you have the tough task of selecting, because, man, like this year, you know, we probably had 30 plays we could have produced that were all very funny. But do you want five plays that all take place in a restaurant with a couple that are meeting for the first time? Do you want six plays that are in a psychiatrist's office? Do you want one that's very sitcomy and one are they all very dark and twisted? So then you start looking for styles and places and just try to get a good balanced show. It's hard.
Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Then how much artistic license do you take with some of these works? Because then again, you're confined to the number of actors that you have. You're confined to the very intimate theater that it's performed in, and a limitation of how many props and things that you can bring in, because you're switching every 10 minutes to the next work. So, you know, how much license do you take with that?
Very careful to stick right to exactly the way the script was written, and the props and the people and everything. I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, right, if we if we want to do something different, we really reach out to make sure that it's okay with the person that wrote it. So I think we the answer is we stick as close as we can to what's written and perform it the way that they wanted it performed.
We like to say that we as a theater, one of our mottos are we never edit for content or language. We won't look for it, but we won't avoid it. And you know, we kind of want Snowdance to be this is a whole other topic maybe down the line here today, but we want Snowdance to be reflective of what's going on in theaters in New York and what's going on in offshoot theaters in Seattle and in other large communities. We think we respect our audience enough to know that there can be a touchy subject matter or a language here and there. You know, so we don't do that. We won't edit for that. We're not going to look for it. The only times we'll really mess with any of it is if something just gets a little too long, because it is a comedy festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll always try to reach out to the playwright and say, hey, you know, this thing's running 12 minutes. What do you think if we went from here to here? And they're always okay with it. Doesn't happen too often. But for the most part, we try to stick to exactly what they give us. Yeah.
Wow. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what kind of trends that you've seen come to you over these 16 years. So you've started to venture into that, Rich, a little bit. Like, oh, you know, we're starting to see some of these topics rise to social conscious is really kind of what it is, a taste of. So can you think of maybe how theater as reflected through Snowdance has evolved during those 16 years in the subject matter and viewpoints maybe?
That's a great question. It's kind of funny. You look back at it now, and there has been little waves that kind of follow society. Our first winner, Snowdance won in 2005, was a play about like a couple's want ad, newspaper thing. Well, it doesn't even exist anymore. and some of the laughs in that first play, I wouldn't do. I would be offended.
Right. So our mores have changed, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. The way we talk about each other and things that we're a little more careful now. You don't describe women with 3 initials like you did in those old ads and things like that. It would still play and it would still be funny, but some of it is on the edge now where I don't think playwrights would do it. You know, that's changed. And we had years where, you know, we had one year where we had like 20 zombie plays. I don't know why. And then of course after 16, after the presidential election, everybody wanted to make a point.
Uh-huh.
And I read so much hate that hidden in comedy. You know,
sure.
They thought it was funny, and we've done our best just to stay out of that whole game. We're not picking sides or poking any political parties, but there's a lot of that out there. It's gotten a little better, but there was a year or two there, 16 and 17, where everybody thought this was funny and maybe in your house, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's really an interesting point. You have to kind of walk a fine line because you want and you have a very intimate theater. So for people who haven't ever been to the 6th Street Theater, it has very limited seating. What's the capacity of the theater?
Right now we're seating 86 people for this show. We can seat 86 for this performance. And it varies. It all depends, you know, if you've been to our space. The stage has a big part of it. I mean, mm-hmm. if we have to have a bigger stage, then we have less seats that way. So, but yeah, 86 is probably our max, because for Snowdance, we try to max it out, 86. Mm-hmm.
So you want 86 people to leave that theater with really good thoughts about what they've seen in the evening, and yet you want to be challenging, because that is certainly part of
being artistic, right?
That's kind of an interesting balance that you have to try to achieve.
Yeah.
Maybe you can give us an idea of what, without giving too much away for the listeners who have gotten their tickets and plan to go, because you still have quite a few more weeks to go, right, and performances to go. So maybe you can give us an idea of the smattering of selections somebody would see this year coming to the festival without giving away some plots. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
There's a carjacking. I'll take the first one. Carjacking.
This is like a memory test, right?
Yeah.
There's a carjacking. There is an airplane disaster, near airplane disaster. There's a
So far, everything you're saying
is
hilarious.
I'm wondering.
What's next?
We had a couple of submissions from the UK this year. Oh, and here's another thing. When we read them, we take the cover sheet off. Or I black it out, you know, when I submit them. Because I don't want anyone looking at it going, oh, this one's from Racine. I like this one. Or, oh, this one is from, England. It'd be nice to do a British play. And no, we try it. When I circulate them, the other readers don't see any of that. So, having said that, we have two plays that made it from the UK this year. One is very British and very quirky and absurd-like. I can't talk about it. It involves a man whose head is stuck in their cat flap of their door. And this very proper British couple dealing with breakfast while a man's head is stuck through their kitchen's cat flap. And I like that one. It's quirky and different. But then the other play we got from the UK is about Elvis Presley.
Oh,
a man who thinks he's Elvis Presley seeing his psychiatrist. So who knows? We've got a Jesus play this year.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, playing last board games, basically. All the disciples, basically the Last Supper group, is together playing board games with Jesus. That's
right. Hard to explain without giving much away there.
Yeah.
But yeah, a really nice variety this year. Yeah, we're all over. Yeah.
Do you have favorites of your own over the past 16 years?
Oh, yeah.
Lots, yeah.
It's hard not to. Yeah, there's a couple that really stand out.
Yeah, and matter of fact, some of the same, I'm sure, our favorites are the favorites of our audience, too, who come back. The ones that come back every year will always say, I still remember that one. That one that, stuck. There are a few that you could mention that stick with people forever. So, yeah, really good. We're proud of that. Very proud of that.
Very proud of that.
Yeah.
What seems to come up most?
There's a playwright in Boston, mm-hmm. and I can't talk about Snowdance without him. His name is Rick Park.
Yeah.
He's hilarious, and he loves us, and he's written plays for us before for Snowdance, and he's been in the finals. I think four times in 16 years he's been in there. And he wrote a play about two guys who are kind of losers sitting around one afternoon, playing video games and drinking beer and discussing the lyrics to Blinded by the Light. And the one was convinced that it was dressed up like a douche, another Roman in the night, was the line. And so he wrote a whole 10-minute play
based on that.
Called Dressed Up Like a Douche. And so clever and written with this Southie Boston accent. That was one of the favorite plays that I've ever been involved in. And I was lucky to be in it and direct it, but it was only 10 minutes long, but our audience still asks about that one. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was very funny.
That's the one that comes up often.
Yeah. That one comes up often. Mm-hmm. And the same playwright wrote another one about some ladies on the front porch of their house on Thanksgiving that people like. Local playwrights, a guy from Madison, Joe Thompson, wrote a play called Drop Dead Dave about some people who are coming to a conference room for a business meeting and they notice Dave is dead on the floor. And so rather than, make a big deal out of it, they prop him up for the business meeting because he never had anything to input anyhow. It sounds very dark, but it's pretty hilarious. They go through the rest of this meeting with Dave in the meeting, and he's dead. But that's the nice thing about a 10-minute comedy and Snowdance. 2 hours you can sit there and you can watch 10 totally different things,
Sure. I love the way you open the Snowdance Festival. Now, I don't know if it's changed because I have to confess, I can't remember if I went last year or not. But what I remember is the big snow cone coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Am I giving away too much?
No,
stop
that's
me.
That's all right.
I mean, maybe you can describe this, but I was rolling on the floor within the first 5 seconds of being in the theater because it was just so fresh and different and fun and Wisconsin,
Yeah.
And certainly Racine. So you throw in other things like Kringle and whatever. So maybe for the people who haven't ever gone, you could describe a little of that and how on earth you came up with this idea. I just love it.
Well, we try to do a very, very prestigious, Racine, Wisconsin-style prestigious opening, kind of Olympic style. We try to give it grandeur, and it's the opening of the ceremony. You're truly there for the opening of the ceremony. So, and we've got, so people come to, as much as they love the festival, I think they look forward to that piece of it too. And Rich has done a really good job as the artistic director to have a different theme every year. So this year, this year our theme is the moon. So if you come to the show, you're going to see that our set very much just resembles the surface of the moon. So every year there's that people got to look forward to, something different. What's the set going to look like? What's the theme going to be? And that theme, the moon, carries itself through the show too in different bits that we do. So it's the theme and it's the yeah. But what else about the opening?
But we knew going into it, the audience was kind of part of Snowdance.
Sure.
Because there are judges. They're voting. And so we thought, maybe it would be really fun just to take this really serious and, like, start with an opening ceremonies like in Olympics with interpretive dance. And instead of a torch running in the Olympic festival, we'll run in with the snow dance, snow cone. But instead of an athlete, maybe it's, some guy choking down a cigarette with his boxer shorts on. And so that's our opening ceremony.
From the snow in the parking lot at QP's.
All the way from the QP Burger parking lot to here. Yeah. And it's obvious our runner is showing the effects of the distance. If you don't know, QP's is around the corner.
That's right.
Our theater, so.
I mean, I just love it. It's just so, it speaks, it has this unique ability to speak of Racine and its uniqueness and quirkiness and our Wisconsin setting while being an international festival in a sense.
I love that. Thank you. Yeah.
You know, what a marvelous thing. We didn't talk a little bit about voting for the favorites. So how does that work?
Well, when you come in, you're gonna have to do some work. We always tell people when they're taking rid of their seats, okay, you got work to do. Here's your ballot and here's a pencil. And so what we're looking for from people is, they're going to have a ballot in the program, and they're paying attention and they're voting for their favorite. So they're picking their first, second, and third favorite. And at the end of the night, we collect their votes, and at the end of the show, we're tallying them up as we go, and then we're keeping track, and we announce the winners after the very last show. So people are literally coming there and voting, and we're counting every vote, seriously.
And this year's last show would be when?
March 1st. Sunday, March 1st is our final performance. And then we have our little closing ceremonies after. And we take like a second intermission. So we'll have that show on March 1st. And as soon as it's over, we invite the audience to stay for a second 10-minute intermission. And during that second intermission, our ushers run around and collect all the ballots. And we've got our tally keeper in the green room backstage who's already got them all added up. And then we take, she throws in the last show's ballots, and we're able to announce the winners right then and there. That's always fun.
Right.
We've been fortunate enough to have the playwright at the last show a few times who won some money.
So. Oh, how nice. So what do they win? And you announce, three winners more than that?
Three winners. We do third place and second place, and they each get a $100 check.
Oh, nice.
But then the first place winner we call the best in snow, and best in snow gets $500.
So, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And the prestige of being on the plaque in our lobby as the Snowdance winner for that year.
Very good.
And the playwrights really like that.
Well, you mentioned a little bit that playwrights do come. Have playwrights from very far come to see their play perform?
Yeah, we've had California,
Boston, right?
Boston. Minnesota, Chicago. They come up. And the other really, and it's happened again this year. It just happened this week. I heard about it. So the thing with theater is if your play is produced somewhere else, like if you've got the premiere performance of it, and then it goes on to go in a publication somewhere else or be performed somewhere else, they will always refer to the first production. And so Snowdance at the Sixth Street Theater in Racine, Wisconsin, is in quite a few play catalogs now.
How awesome is that?
That's great. It makes me feel good. There's a play this year called Blinded by the Light, but Go to the Light. about a man on his deathbed who is demanding on posting Facebook before he dies. Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, it is.
It is. But no, we heard. I heard Monday. I got a letter from the playwright saying, "Hey, it's accepted into this best 10-minute plays compilation by this publisher, and Snowdance is going to be in the inside cover again." So that's cool.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. I like to remind our listeners that you're listening to WGTD Community Matters. We're here this morning talking to Rich and Jim Smith, not related.
No.
Smith,
not at all. No.
And Smith is not a requisite to being part of the Over Our Head Players, which is...
It helps, maybe.
You got a point there. And Over Our Head Players certainly is the troupe that makes the Sixth Street Theater its home and has made the Snowdance 10-Minute Comedy Festival what it is today, and a sold-out smash in the heart of Racine. So we're excited about that. But you do more than the Snowdance Festival. That has become kind of your signature of sorts. But tell me a little bit more about the Over Our Head Players itself, perhaps where you came from and who's part of it now, and how you define yourself as part of the Racine community.
Yeah. We started in 1992. And you already mentioned that we started in a bar. I mean, literally. So it was a group of people who were all very theater minded and theater active people, who were looking for kind of the next opportunity to stick with what we love to do. So we did start in a bar, in George's Bar on Main Street, uh-huh, in 1992. And at that time, our goal was to produce one show, in the back room of the bar. And we did that, and we took the money that we gained from it, and bought a big steak dinner for everybody. That was a big celebration.
We thought that would be it, and then
was the show? I have to ask.
Oh, the play was called. It was a highbrow, very thought provoking play called Bathroom Humor.
Oh, there you go.
It was a play that took entirely in place in a bathroom. It was pretty funny, actually. We had a good time doing it. But, yeah, so, yeah, we blew all the money from that play on a big dinner. And then we had people, well, when's the next one? When's the next one? So, all right. Oops. So we did the next one, and we decided, well, we should save this money in case we want to do another one. And before we knew it, we were doing, three play seasons out of George's and continuing to save from 1992 until the year 2000 when we got our own space. So, yeah.
Right. Wow, that's great. So now, how many productions does the troupe put on a year?
This year we're doing five, and normally. So some five is pretty normal. Some years less, based on the different shows that we're going to do. But this year we're doing five productions. So we have two more yet this season.
When we incorporated, we formed a mission statement. We realize there's a lot of good theater, and we're lucky. The Racine Theater Guild is on the other side of town. It's a fantastic venue if you haven't been there. And we know Racine has such a strong theater community because of that. That whatever we were going to do, we had to complement that. We weren't going to, we're a 90-seat, whatever house, in a downtown urban setting. So we like to do things that are a little edgier, a little different, a little newer, a little fresher, original plays, so that's been our niche, and ever since George's, that's kind of been our niche. And so now building a season based around that mission is challenging, but
sure.
But that's where we're at. Yeah.
Have you ever thought of expanding the Snowdance Festival to being twice a year? That might diminish what it is once a year, but. On the other hand, if you have so many submissions that you're getting, and if many of them are quality and worthy of performing, have you thought about doing that?
Wait a minute. Did Laura just give us a really good idea?
I'm not as original.
That's not a bad idea. No, but I think I'm gonna. Yeah.
I'm sure it takes a lot of work because obviously all of you have day jobs, right? Or is this your? This is not can't be your.
We've got day jobs.
We've got day jobs. We've got three. We've got three paid positions at the theater, but even the paid positions have other work, to make ends meet.
It's a lot of work. I mean, it love it. I mean, obviously, you're hearing it from us today, but it's a lot of work to pull off one. So we have that's certainly a consideration. We're a volunteer organization. I mean, yeah, we have day jobs and our actors don't get paid. So, I mean, there's lots to consider, but sounds great. I'm sure we'd sell tickets.
Which year makes it special? And to the point I made before about trying to build our season like around our mission statement, we've tried to develop other things that I feel that the Snowdance audience likes that could still meet our mission and be something different. We do a show every other year now called Theater Schmieder, which is like a sketch comedy show with a lot of local humor, a lot of, sort of self-deprecating satire about Racine, and people get behind us on that and enjoy it. We pick on Kenosha a lot. and we have live music. You know, we have a live band, like a Saturday Night Live episode. And people love Theater Schmieder. But it's so much work, and it's all originally written sketch stuff, so it can only be done every other year to put it together and do it the right way.
Is it written by members of the troupe, or do you solicit?
Members of the troupe, mm-hmm. Yeah, myself and a couple other people. So it's all just our stuff, you know. And then we kind of got this new thing that crept up on us 2 years ago. We did a thing called Kringle the Musical. Where we made up a hypothetical Danish family in Racine called the Johansens, Leif Johansen and Keep Johansen are the two Danes who invented Kringle and brought it to Racine. And we wrote this fake musical around them. People loved it. They ate it up. We sold everything out. So this year, in this season, we did Kringle the Musical Part 2, West of the Eye Side Story, where we talk about how they got their butter for Kringle production and made a musical out of that, and people loved it. And we've already got people saying, when's Part 3? So we're not doing we're not doing Snowdance more than once a year, but we are always looking for that new fun mm-hmm. thing that we know will fit that. Yeah. We know what our audience likes, and we do too. You know,
sure.
So
and our mission statement is to produce fresh and unique, theater in the community. And so, we want to open our opportunities to discover new things and bring new things into our season. So, yeah, I mean, and we like to, Snowdance is great, but we want the options, right, to bring mm-hmm. new things, and people are looking for it. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Have you outgrown your theater?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, I love the theater, but that's a tough tension, right?
Oh, we love it there.
Yeah.
It would be so different if we weren't there. But, the dilemma of larger theaters is that, larger bills, larger responsibilities, larger commitments, maybe more audience people you got to worry about keeping happy as opposed to taking chances. So we're kind of in the right space. We're selling out, I think, 80% of our performances, which is fantastic. I mean, community theaters anywhere would beg for that. And logically, you would say, get more seats. But I'm a little afraid of it changing, what we do and making it too much about money. Too much about paying the bills, stuff like that. There's theater troupes that are like us, our size in New York City. Easily, like a few of them, been there,
Mm-hmm.
Off Broadway things. And in Chicago, smaller than us, 50 seats, 35 seats. So, I don't know. Yeah, it'd be nice to be a little bigger, but careful what you wish, maybe, right?
Right. Well, and you're at a place where, are you feeling like you've been at a place where you're sustainable? Obviously, you've been around for 28 years, so maybe that's a good comfort feeling. I think that there would also be a danger in being a little more distant from your audience because when you go to Sixth Street Theater now, you feel like you're sitting right on the stage, mm-hmm. no matter where you are.
You know, one year we took Snowdance to Memorial Hall in Racine, which is a big place, because we wanted to give people the opportunity to see us and know more people. So we did that for one weekend of our shows, and mixed feedback from our audience, who the majority said, hey, we want to be intimate. We want to be, we don't like the the gap.
We sold several hundred more tickets that year.
Sure. But some of the feedback was, we like it small. You know, that's what we want. So, so we did have that. We have that to think about, you know.
Sure. What a dilemma to have, huh?
Yeah.
A nice dilemma to have.
It's a nice dilemma. Yeah.
I'm kind of curious what you do for your day jobs, if you're comfortable enough sharing that. Because when you go to the theater and you see this happening, you have to think, holy cow, this person by day actually does this. What would this be?
How do they, well, that's the story of every community theater.
We have a mix. We have a real mix. I'm a supply chain manager. I work for S.E. Johnson. I'm a supply chain manager. We have in our core group of volunteers, I mean, we have company presidents. We have lots of teachers. That's interesting. Lots of teachers. We have healthcare workers. Rich.
We are brothers.
There you go. It's out.
It's out.
It's out.
Okay. and we both work for S.E. Johnson. So I work for the S.E. Johnson flight department.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we do corporate travel for the company. And so I work there during the day. And, everybody comes. We make jokes like, you know, community theater, it's less expensive than bowling. come join us. It's okay. We don't bite. And we have fun. And we'll have a beer after. Everybody comes from everywhere. Like Jimmy says, you know, we've got corporate presidents and, security guards and bartenders and corporate attorneys, you know, a judge who works with us. So, it's great. It's a good mix of people. But if you're lucky enough to make a comfortable living doing theater, you know, good for you, especially in a small community.
Yeah, I think the variety of the people that are the core of our organization, the variety and the different experiences, that's what makes it unique and different. That's community theater. I mean, it really is. We truly represent community theater in our group and our volunteers. So, it's great. It's really great.
What a bold risk to take, when you think about it, to have a group of people who maybe didn't know each other venture into the community and say, let's do something a little offbeat, maybe sometimes a little irreverent, look at ourselves and portray our community and entertain our community and do some thoughtful, creative stuff that's humorous, and put yourselves out there like that when that's not necessarily your professional life. I mean, it is now. It has become that. Yeah. That's a really bold move. How has the organization as a whole changed and worked together? That's a lot of moving parts to do to carry off something in the community. What kinds of things had to happen in order to get you where you are now? Does that question make sense?
Am I making any sense? I'll let Jim talk about like our spot in the community, but. You know, to your point about the bold thing, it's kind of easier to be bold if you know you don't have to eat off of your boldness.
I get that.
So it's easier for us to take some chances early on, especially. It's like, all right, if it doesn't work, all right, well, just, you know.
Go back to the hangar.
Exactly. So.
No, I think, I would say that. We were a group of friends that started this organization, and we're still a group of friends. When you get right down to it, we're still a group of friends that are doing what we love to do. But I think our success for 28 years has really driven us to be more of an organization, drove some things we needed to do. I mean, we're doing all the things that we need to do to be an organization and to exist for 28 years. A community theater nonprofit for 28 years is really, you know, rare. So we're having fun. We're doing the things that we set out to do, but our success and kind of our responsibility to our audience and to our volunteers who sacrifice and commit to us has kind of driven us to be an organization, to do all the things that we need to do to sustain ourselves. We have a board of directors, a strong board of directors. We have bylaws. I mean, we have a budget that we're committed to every year. So there's things we need to do, and we're doing all those things. And I think what drives still drives us to be a buttoned up organization is the responsibility to our volunteers and to our audience and even to ourselves, you know, that we're doing the right thing.
And you know what's happened in the last, if you don't mind me adding on, in the last 5 years, maybe 10 years in particular, is sort of an obligation to our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown Racine is really kind of, we've watched it just grow up around us since 92. I mean, there are, you know, we were in the middle of a bunch of empty storefronts, and now we've got these fantastic restaurants next door and in the back corner and across the street over there, and bars where there were, you know, empty buildings, and art galleries and soap manufacturers. And if you haven't been downtown Racine in a while, check it out. It's, yeah, so there, I feel like we're part of that, too, you know.
And feel responsibility to that, too, because we see how the bars and the restaurants and, you know, what Rich said,
they kind of
depend on us, too. I mean, to be there and to, you know, we realize we're how much we impact the downtown. So it's great, but it's also, you feel that responsibility, too, a little bit.
Restaurant owners all winter say, thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you. We have people tonight that we knew they were coming to you because they had to get out by 8 o'clock to see the show. We appreciate it. It's slow months of the year for a lot of those businesses, and this is when we're peaking, so it's good.
Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, you've become kind of an anchor on that street. That's for certain. And so hats off to you. That's wonderful. Well, I really appreciate your sharing a little bit of Over Our Head Players with us in the Snow Dance Festival with us this morning, and want to remind our listeners that this will go on until March 1st, and then they can find out who might be the winner of this year's Snow Dance Festival. Is there a way that people can ever capture what they might have missed during a season of Snow Dance Festival? Is there a compendium of the plays that are produced that is ever published, so to speak, or anything of that nature?
We've talked about doing that. We've talked about doing that, and I think that's something that we're going to do in the near future, I hope, is put together a book of, like, maybe the best of Snow Dance, like a compilation of short plays for reading, and it'll help the playwrights get their material out there for another theater that might want to do it. You know, but there isn't really anything like that yet officially, but it's something we want to do.
Oh, yeah. That would be a great idea. Yeah.
Thanks for the great. That's a great idea.
Sure.
Great
thought. I wish you both well as you finish up this long Snow Dance Festival, because it goes on for how many weekends?
We've got five. It runs for 5 weekends, and we added Thursdays and a couple of Wednesdays. And
that's a huge commitment from how many people?
For this Snow Dance, there's like probably 17. Directly involved to pull off the performance, not counting ushers and you know, other things that happen. So, it's a great commitment.
It is, and a wonderful gift to the community. So
thank you both.
And continue to prosper and laugh, which I don't think you'll have trouble doing.
No. Come see us when Snow Dance is over. We've got a couple other great plays this season.
Right, you mentioned you have two more this season, and when would they be?
Outside Mullinger by the award-winning playwright John Patrick Shanley is a great Irish romantic comedy, opens in the end of March, and then a great new play called The Roommate by Jen Silverman opens in April.
Oh, terrific. Well, you know where to find them then, at the 6th Street Theater. And thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
This is great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
WGTD's Morning Show. Insightful questions put each week to the nation's top authors.
Those are great questions. It always makes for a better interview, for at least for the author, when the interviewer has actually read the book.
You're such a good interviewer. My gosh. You really made me think. You really read the book.
Yeah. No other interviewer has really gotten into that. You really brought out some really great points.
Greg Berg holds the Morning Show weekdays after the 8 o'clock news.